Can we get real quick? Can we get John Hurst and Todd Lewis up on stage? It's going to take like 2 seconds. Get you from behind the bar for 2 seconds. No one rob the fucking bar while Todd's up here. All right, what you're all about to experience is a one-of-a-kind comedy experience. I know I just used experience twice, but all right, I'm going to do this, then we're going to get things rolling here. All right. By the power vested in me, we, the Friendly Town City Council, hereby declare this week's meeting of the Friendly Town City Council to order. Chant it with us. Friendly Town! Friendly Town!
Friendly Town!
Friendly Town!
Yay! I give you the Friendly Town City Council. They're all going to be doing funny shit tonight. So, yeah, give it up for them. We don't normally all do that where we all get on stage, but this is an important event. A couple of thank yous before we get Friendly Town started for tonight. Like I said, it's going to be a mix and match of a bunch of shows that we've done. We have some spots right up here if you guys in the back want to move up. And it's all very experimental, kind of not very interactive. So, like, unless you get drunk and start yelling shit, we're not going to make fun of you. I can make that guarantee. If someone starts like saying things, you know, to someone who's sitting right there, then I will make them feel really bad about it immediately after they get off stage. That's the Friendly Town guarantee. It's written in our charter. We will make things really uncomfortable immediately if that happens. But anyway, a couple of quick announcements before we bring up your first performer. And well, that's technically me. My name is Tyler Sonicson. I am one of the founding members of Friendly Town, and I normally host the show, but we like to rotate people in and out. We like to rotate, as people come up with ideas for shows, we like to rotate them in to host the event. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this again. First of all, another founding member of Friendly Town, who is getting you guys progressively drunk over the course of the night, and he also provided us some amazing pizzas for free. Give it up for your bartending mayor, Todd Lewis. Todd and I spent pretty much all day Friday printing out issue 3 of the Friendly Town zine. If you haven't been to Friendly Town, the zine is a really good starting point. The zine actually has a list of all of our shows. It has a bunch of really inane articles that kind of function within the Friendly Town universe. The universe that we create every week with our show here in Friendly Town. Now, once again, I think it was our second show where we did a show called Friendly Town Needs a Mascot, and Todd actually came up with our winning mascot, Boo the Friendly Town Piss Goblin. And if you guys are wondering what Boo the Friendly Town Piss Goblin looks like, there is a beautiful rendition of him on a cake back there provided by our good friends at VG's Bakery. Give it up, please. Thank you so much to Kate for that. Have you ever seen a cake and been like, holy shit, that like wasn't on TV? Like, have you ever seen a cake in person? Like, every time you see one of those cool like Cake Boss cakes, it's always on TV and you can't have any of it for yourself. Well, guess what? You can have some of this one for yourself. We're going to cut it right at the end of the show. Or maybe if you guys really want, if you want to be the worst, you can just go up and grab a hunk of it and just eat it like some savage. But we're not going to do, but you know, we don't want to ruin it. But we've already taken a bunch of pictures of the cake and Instagrammed it and everything. So it won't be too heartbreaking to cut it and ruin the perfection of Boo, the Friendly Town Piss Goblin. Now, one of the shows that we did was Friendly Town Needs a Bedtime Story. A couple of performers tonight are going to be doing bedtime stories for you guys. This was our February 27th show, where by that point, judging by the title of the show, we'd already kind of run out of basic municipal what if we were an actual town ideas. Like, we already did Friendly Town Needs a Mascot, Friendly Town Needs a College, Friendly Town Needs to Go Green, Friendly Town Needs a Tourist Attraction, Friendly Town Needs Roadside Attraction, things like that. So we started moving into the really weird kind of domain, and one of the shows that we did in February was called Friendly Town Needs a Bedtime Story. We need a bedtime story to tell all of the little kids in the Friendly Town community. So, subject to your approval, I would like to tell my own bedtime story, because I could not be here for that show. It is a story of a fledgling comedy show, kids, called QED. QED was a really fun show, hosted by a very well-meaning, but somewhat troubled individual named Cat. Now, Kat Madorn, let's just call him for sake of argument. He started a weekly show called QED, which is a Latin term that none of us ever bothered to look up, kids. But we know bartending mayor. I'm just making a point here. I'm just saying that kids today all have smartphones and they can look that shit up on their own. I'm just going to let them fill those pieces in. But it means demonstration by progress. All right, that's all right, son. I don't know what the proper response is to that. I don't have any kids, for real. I'm just assuming this is the type of story they like to hear. Anyway, once upon a time during the run of the QED show, our host met a lovely young woman who is a nuclear physicist. Stay with me. And she decided she didn't like being in America anymore. Boo! But she decided, hey, why don't we get married and I'll take you back to England with me. And before she finished the sentence, Kat had already packed all of his... He packed all of his shit by the time she finished the sentence. And then he left Knoxville forever. And I say that because he wrote it on Facebook. I'm leaving Knoxville forever. But a few of us went to their wedding in Florida, and it was really nice to see them. Anyway, so when QED ended, or we should say the burnt ruins of QEDopolis, next to out in the northwest quadrant outside of Friendlytown, we decided, a few of us, who enjoyed doing QED, to a point where it was actually kind of creepy, to a point where we spent the entire week looking forward to our Monday nights. And that is a little bit sad. I'm not going to lie. I'll level with you. But we decided we still need to have Monday comedy at the Pilot Light. So a few of us got together. By that, I mean we were hanging out here one night drinking a lot. And we thought, hey, what should we do? So that's when the magical owner of the Pilot Light, let's just call him the Board Man, the Board Man descended from his practice space on Central Avenue, and he said, hey, Tyler, I think you should bring back Friendlytown. That was a really good idea for a show. And I said, you know what, the Board Man, you're correct. Except Friendlytown originated as a monthly talk show where I had to, you know, like book guests and musical guests and, you know, promote it. But I was like, okay, fuck that. We're going to change the format. So what we decided was we were going to start a brand new show with former members of QED as well as a couple of new friends. Over the first year of QED, of the first year of Friendlytown, let me tell you, we went through some changes. First of all, we figured out what the fuck to do with the show. The show's format took hold. It took place. It slowly coalesced into the show that you guys are seeing today. Every week, Friendlytown needs a new thing, and people come up here with brilliant new ideas for what to bring to our imaginary community. One of our founding members, who moved to the magical land of the Gentle Barn in northern Georgia. Literally, she moved to Georgia. But around the time that she left to go do vegan stuff or whatever she does, a Marxist, let me try to think of a good name. There was a Marxist Cajun man who started coming out. And then he grew the most magical mustache, which is currently obscured by a less magical beard, but let's just call him St. William LeDonte. He started becoming serious about coming every week. So we thought, hey, why don't we have St. William LeDonte become a member of the Friendlytown City Council? So kids, that's the story of how Tyler John Hurst, former QED favorite, now Friendlytown favorite, bartending mayor Todd Lewis, and St. Thomas, a.k.a. St. William LeDonte, waste their Mondays every week. Have a good night. Right? As I was piecing that story together in my head, I realized there really aren't that many chapters to the story. It was basically, you know, we sort of like lost one or two members at the beginning, and you know, they went off and did their lives, and we're just like, well, what are we gonna do? Well, just keep doing it. And then eventually, we brought in some new people who you're gonna see tonight, and a couple of older folks started coming back, and it's been an absolute blast. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's been a I'll save the sappy shit for the end of the show, but just kidding. I'm not gonna do any of that. I'm just gonna after the last act, to be like, all right, go home, and I'm just gonna walk out the door, and you're never gonna see me again. This is our final show, surprise. No, but we do have to think of an idea for next week. That's kind of a bummer. We've been pitching this one so much. I mean, we had an amazing flyer that St. Thomas made with a dog with eclipse glasses on it. I mean, if that didn't attract people, I don't know what will. Honestly. But anyway, we have a smorgasbord of great presentations tonight. Speaking of St. Thomas, he will be presenting our January 16th show, Friendly Town Has a Dream.
Thank you, Friendly Town. I'm glad you decided to have me today. I've come all across this great state of Tennessee. I was in a fine town called Gallatin, which if you've never been, that's understandable. But there I watched the totality of the eclipse. I came there to watch Satan cast a shadow over our earth. And I stood in a cemetery in the center of Gallatin because I couldn't get tickets to the public show at the park with the live music and the food trucks. So I stood in this cemetery and I looked up at the sky into Satan's one eye and I stared down at him and I said, Satan, do your worst. And now I'm blind. They told me I didn't need eclipse glasses. They said they were a government conspiracy, a ploy by NASA to launder money into Hillary Clinton's Lolita Express. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you that you definitely still need them. So here I am today to tell you what I saw inside of Satan as we stared each other down before he made me blind. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, everybody, but we're all dead. I know you thought you saw the eclipse. You thought you hugged your family and you cried about how beautiful it was. And then you went home like any other day. But I had a personal conversation with Satan in the 2 minutes and 41 seconds of the totality. And he told me that we're all dead. And I said, but Satan, that doesn't make sense. Nothing feels any different. And he said, that's right. Because hell is just like real life. It just doesn't stop. He says, we tried to make it worse, but you guys already kind of figured it out. This is bad as it gets. He says, you're kidding? You invented a thing called slavery. How much worse do you want it? And I said, yeah, but that son of a bitch, Abe Lincoln, he extinguished slavery. And he said, yeah, that wasn't just that. You think he could have won the Civil War by himself? That was the hand of God. You think you'd have learned your lesson, but now you're trying to bring it back. So he said, I'll leave you to your devices. And I said, well, Satan, that's unfortunate news, but if I'm stuck here anyway, I still have a job to be at tomorrow. So I'm going to head home down I-40. And I can tell you, I've seen the lowest level of hell, ladies and gentlemen. It's I-40 on any goddamn holiday weekend. It's just fire and brimstone, a hellscape full of people who can't stop look up from their phones while merging lanes. Every 15 miles, there's an accident and a bunch of people sitting and looking at signs that say they can go as fast as 75 miles an hour when in fact they realize they can't go faster than 3. It's as bad as life gets, ladies and gentlemen. And it's never going to change because the state board is outlawing things like public transportation. But while simultaneously stymieing any increases of funding to our public infrastructure. Now, I'm sorry, but if I don't know a bunch of devils running the state house, the Tennessee legislature sure as hell is it, I tell you what. I don't know where this story begins or ends. It's because it's a term. We're in hell. It doesn't. That's how eternity works, ladies and gentlemen. With that said, I could be up here all day, and I will be, because this show will never stop. You think this is year one? This is just that moment in the Matrix when you get to meet the architect. It starts over tomorrow. So strap in, kids! Welcome to Friendly Town.
All right, one more time for St. Thomas Ledoux. Who,
I missed the line that explains the whole bit. We were in the big sleep. Get it? Friendly Town has a dream. We're all dreaming because we're. Anyway, sorry. I fucked that up.
The funniest part is that's still not what Friendly Town Has a Dream was. Like, it's still like, you know, Friendly Town was a dream. Friendly Town Has a Dream was in honor of MLK Day. Except. We all got up on stage and literally explained dreams that we'd had, like actual dreams. Were you asleep while you were driving back to? Okay. I talked. I think it's actually available on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/friendlytownknoxville. Boston McCowan actually animated a dream. He has to work Monday nights, but he submitted a video version, like a cartoon he made, that sort of illustrates a really bizarre kind of fever dream that he had, and it's kind of mind blowing. And that's the character that character you just saw from Saint. It's basically what he does every week. But no, it never gets any less funny. Especially the more evangelical it gets, the better. Ladies and gentlemen, your next show that is going to be brought to you is going to be brought to you by someone who's become a very good friend of the show. You hear her a lot on WUTK, and she's going to be doing perhaps one of our favorite themes we've ever done. Friendly Town needs to win Diane back. That's the show. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Beth Tompkins.
So, I sang when I did this before. Shoot, that doesn't work. But, there was a cruise where Bonnie Tyler sang Total Eclipse of the Heart today. But if you missed that, you can follow me home after the show, because I'm probably going to sing about 5 more times in my car. But this is for you. All right, so, Diane, man, we tried. We really tried. But I've been sending her those funny GIFs on Facebook, and she read one today. So I got this. I know she's going to hear this podcast. I'm psyched. So, Diane, you don't have to come back home tonight. I'm going to get poetic here. Like the last lonely moth of summer, taking one last run at some old porch light. Diane, I've only been here a few months now. No longer a newcomer, a new regular. Bow, chicka, wow. It's been lonely since you left us. I nearly took the Chum Village bus back to tell them how it feels to be stuck in this no horse town. I know your mind is made up as flatly as an A cup. We told you once, we won't tell you again. Bow, chicka, wow, wow. Diane, I'm sorry for those words, but I'll get better from hanging out here. For example, I'm learning the rule of thirds. Diane, didn't Tyler, Thomas, or Todd try to make you stay? And how many T names does one open mic need anyway? That's a tricky one. Diane, we want to bring you back so we can log into Hulu again and watch all of Rick and Morty and some Mars Attacks. Diane, that last part wasn't true, but my singing is finally over. I've got some serious drinking to do.
Give it up for Beth, everyone. Mayor Beth has an article about how she came to Friendly Town in the new zine, and it's a doozy. It's very sordid. It's very full of intrigue. It's really good. You should buy it. Anyway, your next presentation will bring back our show from last October called Friendly Town Explorers Edition. The idea was we did an episode of Friendly Town where we, in honor of Columbus Day, where we all discovered things that had already been discovered. That was the joke. And you know, it led to a couple of very interesting observations about Friendly Town. First of all, you can't really expect us to prepare shit. Like, the episode is available on our podcast on iTunes. Just look for Friendly Town Radio if you want to hear what I'm talking about. But it's still very funny. And we have someone who was not able to be here that week. Law of averages say he was at a metal show. With his metal band. I don't know where he actually was. But he is going to present to you his own discovery. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for John Hurst.
Before I actually begin, I just want to say that, like many other people, I was overcome with emotion earlier today. Like, I felt tears well up inside of me as I looked onwards. I saw what was in front of me, and the Age of Empire 4 announcement trailer was amazing. I mean, like, the Relic Entertainment's doing it, it's going to be great. Dawn of War 2 people. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Actually, I was part of that show, and I'm trying to redeem myself because my discovery that time was soft pillows, which were, like, turned out very soft. We were just doing it wrong the entire time. So, but this time, I have found something that Friendly Town has discovered a long time ago, and I'm about to establish some damn world building with all you people. Are you ready for it? Yeah. All right. It's everyone's favorite topic. We're going to unlock the classified secrets of Chum Village. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, boo. Let's get those boos out of the way early because Chum Village. This is previously classified information that only mayors knew about, but fortunately, when you're on stage, you are a mayor of Friendly Town. So that means, like, why did we classify it? We have a really bad system, people. Basically, why do we have to talk about Chum Village? No, seriously, why? We have to know thy enemy. They are the rivalry. We have a deep rivalry with them. It's like Alcoa and Maryville in that Tennessee state far away from us. They are the Sega Genesis to our Super Nintendo. And honestly, when we unlock the files, Chum Village is mostly our fault anyway. Chum Village was actually founded by a former resident of Friendly Town by the name of Russell P. Chum in 1834. He was banned from the town for not being friendly enough. If you can imagine that, there you go. He claimed to have visions of the future. He had an innate fear of frisbee golf, which would not be invented for 100 years. This explains why the early charter had both things, like Friendly Town would have a frisbee golf course and Friendly Town would not have a frisbee golf course. That's really hard to say, people. But his visions of the future were mostly correlating with episodes of Dennis the Menace in the 50s. It was really weird. He probably accidentally invented syndication. He led a group of like-minded chumsters, which is an unfortunate name because that sounds like a Pornhub tag, through QEDopolis to the other side, the first expedition of its kind. Once he was there, he established the town that is Chum Village. His entire economy was actually based on the marketing goods 1 cent lower than Friendly Town, a system now called Vendocracy. It's basically, it's the equivalent. Every time you see someone on Price is Right that says $1, it's someone from Chum Village, guaranteed. I actually originally did this as a PowerPoint slide, so I have like one that's the average Chum Villager, and I was going to have the video from Robocop where he gets doused in acid, but okay, your average Chum Villager, he has high... I skipped a little part. Every year they celebrate the founding of their village by swallowing a whole lemon. The only food Russell took with him because he was very bad at planning. He didn't have a bug out bag like Jax did. He just had lemons. When life gives you lemons, you eat the lemon. But due to that, the high levels of acidity that the average Chum Villager has means that they're great at shocking your pool. You just invite a bunch of them over to your pool, and you're like, it's going to be disinfected. It's great. They'll ramble on for hours and hours about their recent drunk eBay purchases. So, any talking head records that they got, you're guaranteed to hear them talk through them. they all have a mysterious story that happened to them when they were 18 that they're all required to go through due to the cult of Russells. Basically, they have a mayor-like system like us, except every mayor has to be legally changed their name to Russell, like Russell P. Chum. They enjoy the band Bush legitimately. Glycerin's actually their national anthem. I didn't know if you knew that or not. They call soccer football like a crazy person. The average number of record scratches and then that end in silence at bars is 24 per day. They import divorced fathers and half-eaten jars of peanut butter. And they export, well, lemons and skeet shooting equipment for the frisbee golf. Here, I'm just going to go through a couple quick things. Local things to do in, if you find yourself accidentally in Chum Village. You can enjoy the farmer's market, which still prices things 1 cent lower. We are actually directly responsible for the economic downturn of Chum Village because we inflate our prices all the shit. You can visit beautiful Fort Chum, a barricade used in the Second Friendly Wars of 1959. You can even visit the guards that still think there's a war happening, which it is. Execute Plan Order XC3. You can visit the Museum of Russell's and Otter Petting Zoo and learn why all the mayors from Chum Village are legally required to change their name Russell. Also, the otters are pretty cute. We got to admit that. They have a we have the Museum of Existentialism, but they have the Factory of Shame, which is the only place that can convert shame into fudge. It's really quite good. Definitely a thing to do in Chum Village is vape, because they don't know what it is yet, and they'll think you're from the future. Things that definitely do not. Frisbees in Chum Village are punishable by death and or watching the first two seasons of Dennis the Menace nonstop. Make sure you don't travel on foot through Kiwidopolis. At this point, I would actually have a map of the Friendly Town area, the Friendly Town region, because there's a big gaping hole where Kiwidopolis is that connects the borders between them. But that's far too complicated. Wait for the Risk board game. Just basically avoid all the mutants there. Travel by moped. They seem to be calmed by the dulcet tones of a moped, the 50cc engine. Make sure you stay away from the lemon burger. It's exactly what you think it is. It's a burger with lemon used as the bun. Good God, what the hell? And definitely do not mention Friendly Town while you're there. If you go to Chum Village, you know why you're there. You're under orders from Friendly Town, but you know, enjoy it, but don't let them know. And don't let them rename you to Russell. That's how they get you. Good night.
Mayor John Hurst, an indispensable part of the Friendly Town fabric, as you can see. Now, on May 22nd, Friendly Town had a very special episode, one of my personal favorites, called Friendly Town Goes to Court. And what we did with that episode was we had a judge who is among us now, and he's going to be performing shortly, Judge Shane Ryan, who had a full Billy Squire wig. Let me translate that to you younger kids. The dude from the darkness wig. Which is still kind of a dated reference, like, to be honest. But he had like a full, you know, like barrister's wig and a gavel and everything, and it was fantastic. But what we realized, what we were missing amidst all the cases that we brought forth, every comedian came up on stage and they had a case brought against them. They had to explain why they did what they did. And the audience decided if they were guilty or innocent. I think everyone was sent to the chair. I think that that's how that show went. But it was one of my favorite ones. But one thing that we realized, or one thing that one of the performer tonight that was not able to be at that show realized, was that we didn't really have a court liaison, a court expert, a forensic person. But we thought that she would add a little bit of something that might have been missing to the Friendly Town Goes to Court show. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the very experienced Dr. Belinda Stallworth.
I had to set up my notes there. Hello, I'm Belinda. I am an expert in abnormal court systems. And as y'all know, who got to see the situation that was just referenced by Mayor Tyler, was a version of a court arraignment. And there were quite a few members of Friendly Town who were called up, because it's only a quarterly experience. And it's kind of an open court system. And I'm here to explain a little more about that and a few other idiosyncrasies about Friendly Town's justice system. But one of the issues that they have, as you saw, is that they don't really have a jury. They have a judge only for those situations. And the jury is anybody who walks in, which is also why I felt that it was important to inform everyone, even though I am a new citizen of Friendly Town. So you might have figured out, but lawyers are illegal in Friendly Town. Judges are chosen randomly to serve for 1 year from a pool of literate white males aged from 9 to 47. So it can get a little weird sometimes. Every once in a while, you get a 13-year-old and they just don't show up. But some of this is still in development because until 1987, we just had a medieval trial system. Tyler mentioned a forensic expert. Those aren't allowed in Friendly Town courts. You can't see DNA. Fingerprints are still relatively new. That is permitted. But, again, there are no lawyers, so it kind of depends on who's up. There was a tort reform between 1987 and now. Can't really sue anyone, but litigation ends in either a karaoke battle or trial by strength. So you can choose. You do get a little bit of freedom there. And one of the last things that I felt like it was important to explain, as it's very abnormal, is that there are more than two pleas. Well, you can plea, or this can be the verdict. Not guilty. No effing way I'm guilty. Guilty. Liar, liar, pants on fire for those extreme cases. And finally, ask again later. As you can see, this leads to quite a few confusing situations, but it does leave the incarceration rate very low, especially compared to Chum Village. But just wanted to let everyone know today, I am Belinda Stallworth, and I'll be here to answer any questions you have about the very confusing Friendly Town justice system. Thank you.
Everyone, please, one more time for Dr. Belinda Stallworth. She's very busy and doing all that legal stuff that she does, and we wanted to extend our gratitude to her for coming by to explain something that doesn't even exist. Now, we're... So another show that we did, and the next one is a show that we did back in October during a relatively early part of our run, the young part of Friendly Town, where we were very committed to this idea of we are building a utopian community every week within the confines of a comedy show. And one of the things we decided that we needed in Friendly Town was a supervillain. I mean, shit was getting boring. We needed a supervillain. So October 24th, we did Friendly Town Needs a Supervillain. And this next performer, honestly, it was so long ago, I don't remember if he was there or not, but he's going to be redoing it if he was here. If he wasn't here, he's going to be able to do it for the first time. Please welcome Jeff Danger.
Do we even know who the villain was? Did we come up with a villain? Was there a chosen villain?
Yes.
Who was that villain?
No, saying yes.
Yes? Okay. Well, fuck that. Because I should obviously be the villain. Okay, I'm perfect for the role. Okay, I'm not here every week. So who wants a villain who's going to show up every Monday? That makes Mondays... This isn't Garfield, okay? I'm not that bad. You know, I'm kind of more of an anti-hero, except I don't ever do anything heroic. You know, I'm more like, I get on the social media, what is it, the friendly book, get on there, and I just add punchlines to all your statuses, you know, even the cries for help. You know, I show up late to your place drunk and ask for a ride, even though I drove myself there. It's just the little things that count, you know? And I'm nothing but little bits of evil. I'm a wizard. Evil wizards are the best wizards, right? They're always like the sword guys fight them. How do they ever win? That doesn't make any sense. Wizards are awesome. And Lord of the Rings, the only true movie with wizards, real wizards in them, It took Gandalf wearing the same clothes as the other wizard to even have its chance. Let's be honest, he took him by surprise. The evil wizard should have won that. He had that whole army of bad guys that he made out of trees. Trees are a good thing. Like, I feel like you are following me, but at the same time, you're terrified. I think that's what's happening here. Look, I'm going to tell you my plan. It's real simple. Over in Russia, they have this thing called the Immortality Project, okay? What's happening over there is they're trying to figure out how to download a human brain. They plan on having this technology available in 30 to 40 years. So I'm going to volunteer for that, okay? I'm going to get it. I'm a wizard. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to override the system with my human brain power, okay? I'm going to become all the robots. That means every one of you gets your own personal Jeff Danger. And once every month or two, I'll just show up on your doorstep. Hey, Tyler, it's your day. You get a very own of your own Jeff Danger to follow you around for a whole day to make fun of you, to pick out your tiny flaws. I won't do any of that right now to people out here in the audience this time. But you've seen it before. You know what I can do. My girlfriend knows. Okay. But really, the most villainous thing I can think to do, the most villainous thing that I would ever do, and this is the true reason why you should choose me, I'll just show up and, like, not be prepared at all. Like, not be prepared to be a villain. Not be prepared for Mike. I'll not be prepared at all. I'll make you feel so uncomfortable. My superpower, really, in all truth, I'm unable to feel uncomfortable. I could keep talking for nothing for hours. Like, what are you going to do? Pull me away? I'm a giant. But I will give up the mic for more performers and stuff.
Give it up for Mayor Jeff Danger. There was literally nothing terrifying about that. Like, it's like the most cuddly supervillain. It's just like, hey, can you help me carry the groceries up the stairs? Like, that would be his dastardly power. Your next performer is the purveyor of the beer and the pizza. Welcome Mayor Todd Lewis to the stage. Now, I'm going to hand this mic over to him, and I'm going to explain about what was about to happen.
So what's about to happen is Josh is going to make this mic go live. That's okay. Step one.
Step two. On February 6th, we did another one of my favorite shows, which was Friendly Town 911. That's literally what the show was, where every comedian on the list got up here and had one turn as a dispatcher and one turn as the emergency person. The person who called in with the emergency. And the emergencies were just as weird as you might imagine, and the dispatchers were just as stupid as you might imagine. But it created this amazing synergy, including perhaps my personal favorite, one of my favorite Friendly Town moments of all time, where Brad Fowler, a.k.a. Criswell Collective, called in, and this is available on our Friendly Town radio podcast, where he just called in and his entire call was him just saying, "Don't touch it." Like, that was literally his entire call. He just kept on saying, "Don't touch it," over and over and over. And we all lost our shit, and a lot of good times were had. But I think we're going to give our beloved bartending mayor another shot at the crown of best dispatcher ever in Friendly Town. So we give you Friendly Town 911 with Mayor Todd Lewis. Take it away.
Big budget we have in Friendly Town. Friendly Town 911, what's the nature of your emergency?
Look, this is going to sound kind of embarrassing, but I got something really big stuck on my toe. It's my refrigerator, but it didn't fall on my toe. I literally lifted it up and put my foot under it, and...
I'm so tired of you teenage kids with your prank calls about refrigerators.
No, this is a real emergency, man.
It's always my tongue stuck in the refrigerator. or the refrigerator fell on my mom, or help, the refrigerator sentient and killing my father. Like, it's every week, it's every day. You jokers calling in with your refrigerator emergencies and asking if they're running or not. And
well, that was last week, and I regret it, but I really didn't know if my refrigerator was running, man. It was really weird around here. You know, the Chevre went bad, and I got 14 different kinds of cheese in this fridge, and I don't want them to go bad.
What kind of refrigerator is it?
I don't know, a heavy one? Shit, man, I can't feel my foot anymore. Are you going to send some EMTs or some big hunky firemen or something to lift this thing off my foot?
How many kinds of cheese did you say they were?
I said 14.
Name them.
Oh, God, okay. I'm lightheaded, but I'll try, because you seem like a good man. You sound like a Dale fan, and I think of... All right, Chevre, Brie, Cheddar, Mozzarella... Roquefort, Manchego. Ah, oh, God damn it! Do you want me to keep going? Because
sir,
I think
are you sure those are all cheeses?
As sure as my name, as sure as Ric Flair is the greatest athlete of all time, I'm sure they're all cheeses.
Woo! Woo!
There you go. Strange, I don't know why I heard it. Woo! All right,
so,
in my house.
So what kind of that's the ghost of Friendly Town. Anytime anyone mentions Ric Flair, it's just... Let's see, yes. So, Friendly Town's very haunted, especially here at the 911 dispatch building,
yeah,
because of all of the vengeful ghosts of the people that we've murdered through neglect.
Can we talk about this bridge? Because this shit's break. I think my foot's broken.
Did you want a taxi? Why were you calling?
I told you. My foot is stuck under my refrigerator.
You fucking refrigerator kids again.
Look,
God damn it. You got me again.
Look, I'm 54 years old, and yes, I am in high school still, but that's beside the point.
All right, look, I'm gonna send one refrigerator mover and a patrol car to your... What is your address? To your address. And if you're not there with a refrigerator on your foot...
All right.
Those patrolmen are gonna shoot you.
All right, they really do have a refrigerator in my foot. I live at the corner of Awesome Guitar Solo Drive and Touch Lane. Buy a copy of the Friendly Town zine and you'll understand.
I'm sending two pigeons that are armed to your address, sir.
Oh, you're a real swell guy. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Did you get a load of that guy?
One more time for Todd Lewis, your bartending mayor. All right, so we got three more shows we're going to be bringing back. Actually, two more different shows we're going to be bringing back, but we have a special twofer to end the show tonight. But up next, we have someone who is, I think, the newest member of the Friendly Town City Council that's going to be presenting something to you guys tonight. He has his own bedtime story from to make up for our February 27th show, Friendly Town Needs a Bedtime Story. Please... put your hands together and make some noise for Andrew McNicholas.
How y'all doing so far? Keep going. I fell asleep to the screams of my animals, but my sister wrote down the bedtime stories she tried to recite to me, so I'm going to recite those for you all really quickly. For those of you listening, I am a slightly larger white male, and it is a puppy notebook, so... That's how you know it's my sister's, not mine. This is, I believe, from the poem book of Sir Christopher Wallace. To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bouches. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping Moe, is where you'll find me.
What?
The back of the club, Mac and Hose, my crew's behind me.
Huh?
Mad question asking, blunt passing, music blasting, but I just can't quit. Because one of these honeys, Biggie's got to creep with, sleep with, keep the EP a secret, why not? Why blow up my spot? Because we both got hot, now check it. I got more Mac than Craig, and in the bed, believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy, I got mad friends with Benzes, C notes by the layers, Trubuken players, jump in the rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GS3. I got the chronic by the tree. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you a true player. I love it when you call me Big Papa. To the honeys, getting money, playing homies like dummies. I love it when you call me Big Papa. If you got a gun in your waist, please don't shoot up this place, because I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby. All right, y'all are still awake, so I'll try another one. That didn't really seem to do the bedtime. So this is the newest one, because I haven't seen her in 6 years, so this is might be the last bedtime story ever. So this is from, I believe, the poem book of Sir Future. Mask on, fuck it, mask off. Percocets, Molly, Percocets. Chase a check, never chase a bitch. Two cups, toast up with the gang. From food stamps to a whole nother domain. Out the bottom, I'm the living proof. Ain't compromising, $500,000 on a coupe. Drug houses, looking like Peru. Graduated, I was overdue. Pink Molly, I can barely move. Ask about me, I'm gonna bust a move. Rick James, 33 chains. Ocean Air, cruising Biscayne. Top off, that's a liability. Hit the gas, boosting my adrenaline. Mask off. Fuck it, mask off. It looks like y'all are still awake. So those, obviously, if you can tell, I was a very troubled child because my sister tried to read me bedtime stories, and much like the effect they're having on you, you just stay awake and go, please get off the mic. So I hope y'all have we get some better bedtime stories and whatnot up here. Give it over to Tom.
One more time for Andrew McNicholas. A surprising good timeline of hip-hop there represented. Well, two different, you know, eras, but still, surprisingly good timeline. All right, I'm going to put this chair back here and welcome Mayor St. Thomas to the stage. So this next one was, we actually did this a few weeks ago, and it turned out to be, usually with Friendly Town, the most obscure or weirdest ideas that we come up with turn out to be the best shows. This one was, of course, no exception. Friendly Town hasn't actually seen that movie. And Mayor St. Thomas, in doing his introduction, is going to bring up two of Friendly Town's mayors to help him out with this next bit. So take it away, St. Thomas.
Wait, I need the my phone book, or else I can't call my buds over to watch any films. All right, cool. Well, as you guys can clearly see, I'm talking to the ghost in my house. You guys, we like to hang out. I'm in my kitchen. My ghosts know that because they're familiar with the house. I don't know why we have these conversations. They always tell me, yeah, St. Thomas, we get it. We were here before you. It's a fucking kitchen, dude. Cool. I got a little TV in here, and ghosts can't push the remote unless I put the candles in the right order, so I get to choose what we watch over a lonely dinner, me and myself, and a TV, you know, the kind of small ones you keep in your kitchen. Again, the ghosts are like, yeah, it's been the same. You haven't gotten a new TV in 10 years, St. Thomas. It's time to... Well, you know, St. Thomas hadn't had a job. So anyway, when you want. I mean, it'd be cool, though, if I called my friend Josh earlier, my friend Josh Lampley, and he said he was coming over, but I guess I don't know if he's going to make it, so maybe just me and these movies. I don't know. Oh! What's up? Holy shit! Oh, I'm so glad you made it. Oh, man, am I glad you're here.
I got good news. Are you still looking for weed?
Oh, man, all the time.
I found some at a gas station. They sell it there now. We should do it.
I don't know. I think that's just CBD oil. I tried it. It doesn't work, man.
This is oil. It's like spicy flavor.
Oh, it's not that cannabinoid junk, right? That synthetic junk. Because that shit makes me trip. I ate a face last time I tried that stuff, man.
You got to eat a face?
Dude, it was not as bad as you would think, you know? Like, if you ever had, like... I mean, it depends. I had a couple faces, so like fresh faces are kind of more like
bloody.
Well, I mean, they're all kind of bloody, but like the fresh ones had kind of a tender sort of like what like a bruschetta type of quality to them, but the older one's more like a DiGiorno. Jerky. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know.
I got you. I'm on board.
Man, so yeah, we got movies to watch. You know, I got my handwritten TV guide here.
I smelled a lonely dinner, so I knew it was time to watch some TV.
Yeah, just you know, reheating some of the old jerkier faces. They don't keep. You got to eat them fresh if you want them to really.
It's like Chipotle.
Yeah. Man, it goes right through you like Chipotle too. I'll tell you what, not a lot of fiber in the face apparently. Oof. So, yeah, so there's a movie that's about to come on. It looks good. It's called Repulsion.
Oh.
Speaking of face
what
eating.
What a film.
Yeah, have you seen it? I mean, I don't know. Have it's I got Kathy it? Deneuve in it.
I wrote a whole essay about it.
Yeah?
Yeah, Kathy Deneuve is one of my heroes.
Oh, man. Well, tell me all about her. What's Kathy's deal?
Okay, well... It's funny because Kathy, she's kind of the protagonist, but she's also kind of the antagonist.
Okay.
Because the movie's called Repulsion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's in the... Yeah, I told you.
I was just letting you know. Oh, sorry. I thought you didn't know anything about the movie.
It's I knew what it was named. It's in the in the guy. Give me a little bit of credit.
It's Kathy Deneuve, Repulsion.
Yeah.
And she's super, super sexy.
All right.
But she doesn't want anybody. And that's their problem. And that's what the film teaches you. It's like it's not Kathy's problem, it's your problem.
You know, I like that's a good uplifting.
It really makes you look at the face in the mirror, like not on the plate, in the mirror. So maybe it's my fault, you know?
What do you... I mean, you and Kit... I know y'all have been through a what's oh yeah no oh all right now all right we gotta pick a movie we gotta get ooh that's yeah yeah I wanna
spicy oh did you inhale no let me try that again
that's good shit
oh
man
you're looking pretty tasty
no let's see if we can't figure out something else maybe. Because it sounds like I can't really shake a stick at Kathy. It sounds like she's kind of doing her own thing, you know? What about, you heard this one? It's a movie called The Great White Hype, starring Samuel L. Jackson. Comes on about a half hour.
The Great White Hype?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Shark Week films.
So is one of the recurrings? I know they were posting those documentaries.
It's actually Michael Moore's directorial debut to Animal Planet.
Oh, man.
It's him calling out the great white. He's like, that shit's hype. It's not that great of a fish, you know? Yeah, it can jump out of water, but like so do whales, you know?
Yeah, that's
pretty
his
fun. Main point of the documentary. He's like, you know, so do whales.
You know, and those fucking... I mean... In all fairness, whales do a lot of shit. I mean, they're pretty, you know.
That's his point. It should have been, like, a movie about whales.
Yeah, why don't we have Whale Week? It's alliterated already, you know?
Shark Week doesn't flow at all.
Catchy. Fucking. All right, you know, I think I can get behind that, but let's see if there isn't something.
Well, I kind of ruined it. We should probably find something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I know the end, which is.
Great whites suck.
Yeah, well, technically they bite, but anyway.
That's true.
Well, but I mean, you know, I could do an animal documentaries. Here's two. They play at the same time, so maybe we got to pick one. So maybe explain them both to me.
Okay.
And we'll see which one sounds best. First one is, it's called The Animal, starring Rob Schneider. The other one, it's called Mad Dog Time, starring Burt Reynolds and Jeff Goldblum.
Well, one of those films is infinitely better than the other, and of course it's the one featuring Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I mean, well, I could
The Animal is a psycho thriller about a man who is forced to accept the fact that he purely wants fast food all the time, but he lives in such a high tax bracket that he gets made fun of for eating fast food.
Dude, you know,
he feels like an animal trapped.
Yeah, I can identify with that because every one of these suit and tie motherfuckers come my drive thru, I'm like, you punk ass bitch, what you come in here fucking asking for some chicken nuggets? You better fucking pay me, son.
Exactly.
Pay me.
Chicken
I've been slaving behind this. No, we don't have ice cream right now. Machine's broken. It's always broken, it's
always,
asshole.
Always broke for you.
Roll up here 2 a.m., fucking bug-eyed with that tie on still. Where you been all day? You ain't been to work since 5 o'clock. I know you haven't. Nobody go to work in a tie after 5 p.m. You gonna roll up in my drive-thru at 2 a.m. Asking for some fucking ice cream? What's your problem? Your face is looking good.
Come in here. Eat it. Oh, I forgot about Mad Dog Time.
I mean, what's it about? Yeah, I don't know. I might like it.
Mad Dog Time is the unofficial Disney sequel to 103 Dalmatians. They made a fourth.
Oh, man.
But this one, the dogs strike back. They realized Cruella De Vil's just one lady, and that they could totally eat her in like 4 minutes if they all join forces.
It's pretty... I think it's cool how they get Jeff Goldblum to play Cruella De Vil, too. That's a pretty... It's a normal role for him, but
it's a great role, and you know, like 100 full-grown dogs, they can definitely eat a lady.
So yeah, how do they do it? Do they go for
just
the face?
Just simple, just with their mouths.
My kind of dogs.
Yeah, they kind of come in, and she tries to hide behind the skins of their brothers, but they bit right through that, you know.
Oh man, that's brutal. You have to eat your own brother's dead body just to eat the person who killed your brother. That's like...
It was a really beautiful like moment for the protagonist, who is all 100 dogs. They kind of have to like think about like, you know, can I do this? I got to bite through my dead sibling.
How do they come to that? Do they hold like a dog congress? How do they make that decision? I mean, that seems like a lot of
No, I actually think they do it with mostly subtitles because dogs can't talk. So they just have the dogs look up and then this big long
paragraph. Dogs can't talk. Fuck, I gotta stop smoking this shit from the gas station, man. All right, get the fuck out of here. I'm gonna watch this movie, man. All right. Now that the drugs are wearing off, it's apparent that I have traveled in time. It's 2 hours later, and I don't remember a damn thing about any of those movies. So I guess it's time maybe to be paid a visit by my great friend, the ghost of Shane Ryan, who just always comes out about this time of day. Oh, there you are, buddy. You caught me with my clothes off again. I'm just kidding. I knew you were coming. I didn't put them on purpose.
Yeah.
Shane, how's it going? How's ghost life?
Oh, my face is still missing.
Yeah.
If you see that, let me know.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what happened to it.
It wasn't my favorite, but it was the only one I had. So
yeah, that's how faces go usually.
It is. But
if you know where I can get more though, just like I don't like having to kill people for them. So if you know where I just get them, I mean, I'll just we can get you a new one.
No one likes to kill people, but it is fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't dislike it.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
What's going on?
I can't sleep, man. You know, the face has got my gut all upset.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I'm going to...
Like a telltale heart, but different.
A little bit. All right. I guess there's some stuff, though. It's still some late night.
Do you ever clean this place? Ever?
You know, with the drug-addled time travel, I just never find the time. You know, it's always...
It's weird.
I wake up and I'm just hungry again.
It's like an opium den in here.
Yeah. I wish it was opium, bro. I'll tell you what. It'd be a lot more... Things would make a lot more sense. That's okay. All I got to say. But let's see. You know, much like this kitchen, it looks like late night they're doing a showing of an American tragedy with Sylvia Sidney and Philip Holmes. You got any... I mean, you're an old ghost. What, you have any idea what that movie's about?
That is an American tragedy. If I remember, is that the black and white version from 1946, or is that the colorized in 73?
You know, it really, with the hand, they don't get as much details as you would like with the handwritten TV guide, so you kind of just have to go on faith a little bit.
Okay. Well, but it's probably the black and white, which was a far superior version. I remember Bob Osborne talking about it on Turner Classic one night. If you've not seen it, it's noted for starters for the cinematography, because it's really daring. I think the cinematographer was a guy named Otto von Bismarck, and he filmed the entire thing not in black and white, just in black. There's it's just a completely, the lens cap was on the camera the whole time.
Ah.
And it's really fascinating in that regard. And it's called An American Tragedy, which was weird because the entire thing was set in Montreal. And no one knew why, but we couldn't see that either because they would just talk about landmarks that we couldn't see. They go, "Oh, look, there's Mount Rushmore. Ooh, Grand Canyon," and we didn't know. But really, they were
Montreal. Wait, the Grand Canyon's in Montreal?
What? Well, they said that, but we didn't know. The lens cap was on the camera.
Uh-huh.
And that was the part of that. That was kind of weird. But it was, the storyline, basically, it's about these two Canadians who desperately want to move. They want to immigrate to America.
Do they know what our health care is like down
well,
there?
Well, you know, it was a different time. And
yeah, I guess I forget that.
Basically, what they do to get in is they form the band Nickelback.
Sneaky.
That's how they get in. And
in all fairness, when they formed, I mean, I know we all have our opinions now.
Sure.
I mean, I'd love to eat the face off right off the guy. But. They were a breakout classic when they first came out. I mean,
you don't have to remind me. I enjoyed it. It's a good movie. It's a decent movie. I mean, as far as movies with the lens cap always on the camera go, it's not bad.
Well, you know, it leaves a lot to the imagination.
It's all in your imagination.
Yeah. And
sometimes you don't have to watch it.
Speaking of, I still got some, you know what, help. Can go smoke drugs? You want to try? I mean, because I got some stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it'll help. Like, you want to see some things when there aren't things. We can make this movie way
I'm
more.
Not, I'm not as familiar with the drugs.
Just get that.
Okay. All right. Just put it right in my lung? Okay.
Yeah, just
perfect.
Wait, no, it's going right through you. Let me pick that up. I don't want it to go to waste.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Sorry, but I guess it's going to be entertaining for one of us. Anyway.
That's all right. I'll just sit here and, you know, remember.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can.
I kind of remember what it was like back in the day when it's pronounced with the J right in there. Marijuana.
Yeah.
That was how we did it.
No, I think I'm pretty sure what I'm smoking hasn't been marijuana for a minute.
Fair enough.
But there's just so much of it. Well, that Josh guy, he's into it, I guess.
He's into it. Well,
he's got an appetite, that one.
What else? What else? Is there anything else on we could watch?
Oh, what the fuck? Where am I?
I'm back. Here I am.
Man, you've been hanging out here for like 3 hours. How was the movie?
Feels like. It was pretty good. A little dark. A little dark at times. It's all right.
Well, it looks like they're doing a 6 a.m. feature of Taken by Liam Neeson, but it's one, you know, the one where he's got all the skills. Do you know the skills he has?
He does. He has a very. I remember this monologue. It's one of my favorites in movies. I have a very specific set of skills. They are losing my daughter is the main one. It's a weird skill to have, but that's one. He also can make a decent flan. And
what is that stuff even?
It's custard snot kind of thing. It's custard. Not bad.
All right.
I like it. But he can make a decent flan. He can lose his daughter. And I'll see. It's not Sean Connery.
He names like 10 different skills.
He has a very specific set of skills. It's I can lose my daughter. I can make a flan. I can. I know the last 4 digits of all of my credit card numbers. That's one of his skills.
Oh, man.
Also, there was the weird defined skill of he knows everybody's bra size that he meets. That's a weird skill.
I mean, it's kind of apparent from the outside, isn't it?
Well, he can get it right down to what they should be wearing.
I mean, in all fairness,
everybody's missized. They don't know that.
He does start the film working in a Victoria's Secret. It is kind of his job.
Weird. It was weird that they did that. That was Mistaken, I think, was the original name of the movie. was that. And then it went in a different direction. They said, hey, what if we just kidnapped the girl? And there we are.
Ah, well, I mean, yeah, you know, it just sounds like another version of him eating flan for 3 hours. Yeah,
he did all those. He did that wolf movie where he ate flan. There's several movies where it's just him and flan.
Yeah, there's Les Miserables, which is him crying and eating flan.
He stole bread and flan in that one. It was weird.
No. What about you know, I don't feel this way often, I know how to feel this way again.
Okay.
It's a wonderful life. Ah, Have you seen that? There's a 7:30 or an 8 showing of that. Yeah,
it's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, what's that about?
You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
I mean, I'm living it right now.
It's a classic. It's really touching. It's Air Bud meets Schindler's List. It's crazy. It is really great. It's a story of a Dalmatian or a golden retriever. I never can tell. I don't see color. Determined to save small children in an orphanage from the Holocaust.
The dog does this.
The dog creates a list of children that deserve saving. And it's a weird thing because he actually also tells the children who won't be saved.
It sounds like it sounds like a Dalmatian because they're real bastards of a dog. They are a terrible breed.
They're total jerks. And weirdly deaf. Don't know if you know that, but Dalmatians are deaf.
What the fuck is the point
but they
of a
will
deaf
murder.
Dog?
They will murder somebody if you gang them up like a group of 100 or more.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
I think
It's a Wonderful Life is pretty interesting though, in as much as that it's all really about, like I said, this idea of this dog. Living in, I believe it's Puerto Rico during the Holocaust, and saving the children in Puerto Rico from the Holocaust.
Wait, but were the children in Puerto Rico in danger of the Holocaust?
What are you, you're racist? What's the matter? They could save children anywhere. They could have been in danger at some point. And this is the touching story about how that happened and the wonderful life that those kids in Puerto Rico live now because they were not victims.
You know, it's funny. One time I visited Puerto Rico and a big storm happened and it washed a bunch of dead puppies on the beach. It's because it like that. It sounds like I could be triggered a little bit.
That's a sad moment.
Yeah, real life story.
Weird moment.
Sorry to bring everybody down. I'm just saying, I don't really know if I'm going to really be in the... But, what's up, Ghost?
Whoa, it's almost time. It's time to go.
All right, you got to talk to this one because I don't like that
Shane.
One.
Shane.
Yes.
You're needed at the Friendly Town Monoplex.
Wait. Oh, am I? Then I'm on my way. I got to go scream.
Wait, you can leave here and you just come back all the time?
Yeah, whenever I want. Randomly.
This is what, man, I've been trying to get you. I thought y'all were stuck here. I would be, man, y'all need to start paying rent if
I'm
this
actually,
is like a voluntary thing.
I'm actually the projectionist at the Friendly Town Movie Theater.
He has to hit play on the VCR.
Yeah. No one else knows how to hit the VCR. They got the candles in the right order, and I can.
I mean, it is a dead technology, so it makes sense.
So thank you for letting me watch movies with you, though.
Yeah, I wish I could remember them. Anyway,
well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Take it easy, man. See
you.
Yeah. Give it up for Shane Ryan, St. Thomas Ledoux. Andrew McNicholas, Josh Lampley, John Hurst, Jax Porter, a.k.a. Belinda Carlisle, or whatever her name was. She was the court liaison who proved to us that heaven was indeed a place on earth. Jeff Danger, Beth, Greg Rains, your bartending mayor, Todd Lewis, and of course, the Pilot Light, for letting us do this insanity every single Monday night. Give it up for the Pilot Light, please. Now... honestly, I can't thank you all enough for your support. Whether this is your first time here or your 52nd time, I don't think anyone's made all. I think Todd might be the only one who's made all 52 shows. That might be a real thing because I've missed a good handful. I've been away for work or whatever reason, but yeah, he has been the linchpin, been here pretty much every single week. And we have done, and I mentioned this last week or a couple weeks ago, that this has actually been remarkable, not just because of what we've done here for the last year and by proxy, like the local comedy scene has done here at the Pilot Light with Monday Night Comedy, which is now basically hitting its third year of having comedy pretty much every single Monday. For the last 3 years, which is... absolutely remarkable, and the fact that we've done comedy, and we also have occasional nights off where we'll do like a special guest stand-up comedian, like October 9th, which is a ways off, but mark your calendars. Yadoye Travis, who's going to be recording his hour special in Atlanta, he's stopping by to run his hour special in October. Examples like that, JT Habersad of the Altercation Punk Comedy Tour has come through. We had Funny Girls from Asheville do a special night here, which was a lot of fun, and so we have done, or by proxy
proxy, like those connected to us, have done comedy every Monday night for the last 52 Monday nights here at the Pilot Light, which is insane. But at any rate, thank you all for your support. We got zine number 3, hot off the presses, out tonight, available for donations down at the end of the bar next to Todd. And thanks again to VG's Bakery for providing us with an amazing cake with Boo the Friendly Town Piss Goblin on it. Hang out, have a piece. We'd love to chat with you and get your ideas for future shows. But for now, get home safe. It's been a real great first year. Can't wait to see what we go through, what we do to ourselves and to each other next year. Ladies and gentlemen, Friendly Town out.